I unlock stories on YouTube, so that's
that's a thing.
I don't know how.
One story the other day mentioning that we have Instagram and that's where we do a lot of stories, and I think we got like a couple hundred followers like immediately after that.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, oh wow, this kind of works.
It's kind of funny. Like, I did my story saying like, hey, this little tool cabinet is the project I'm working on right now, and like half the comments were like, where's the Ninjago? It's coming, man. You just got to be patient.
We get every single, like, if we have 100 comments, probably four of them are, where's R2-D2? Why isn't R2 done?
Well, especially from, like, the Steam crowd that you guys don't stream at all anymore, do you? Not on Steam. Not Steam.
Twitch.
Twitch, yeah.
Nope, we don't do Twitch anymore.
You know, I think the R2-D2 are my least favorite videos.
Well, I mean, it's weird. Like, we had to make it into a piece of content, but it's like once a week he'll go and put on like three little pieces, and we have to try to capture that and make it like a riveting and captivating story that has these huge breaks in between these really small milestones. So there's not like really big and sexy shots. She's like, well, he's a little more of a shell.
I think there's less generally applicable to most people for like the different things.
Some I don't know. Stuff, with all the hype and everything going on with like Galaxy's Edge, there is a lot of people out right now looking for that kind of content tied in with all the stuff going on with, you know, Disney World and whatnot. But I mean, I think like as per an example, season 11 of Ninjago came out right when my video came out, and I think that was how I got picked up. This whole fluke of Ninjago weapons, I think, is because I was just piggybacking on an event that was already happening, and people were craving Ninjago content, and my stuff just happened to pop up.
It's SEO, man. That's how it works.
Yeah. So with all the stuff going on with Galaxy's Edge, you know, if you were to do an R2-D2 video, and with episode 9 coming out, like, now might be a good time.
Yeah, should probably capitalize on Star Wars somehow.
I was thinking about doing another Star Wars video for that same purpose. I don't have any immediate ideas.
I can just imagine how many people are going to be doing, like, Dark Rey's lightsaber builds.
I would want to do a complete parody of it, though. It's not something I would actually do straight.
I know. That's what I always...
I was thinking about getting, like, a... You know, like, the old garage door springs?
That's exactly what I was thinking. That.
Yeah. Because the sound seems reminiscent.
I would love to have, like, a DIY video like that, and in the end, it just breaks. Like, well, that was fun.
We'll see her like sling around a garage door spring and just like hurt people. It doesn't chop through them. It just like knocks them unconscious and they get big, fat, stupid, stripy welts on their face.
And it kind of flops off on its own.
Bong.
So we haven't talked in a couple weeks. What have you guys been up to?
I have a greenhouse now.
Nice. What are you growing? Yay.
My wife has a greenhouse now.
It's better clarification.
Yeah. She wanted one. She did the research. I designed it, we built it, and we made a video of it. So now all the people in the comments are asking a whole lot of questions. I was like, whoa, we've had this thing for like 4 days. Pump the brakes.
Nice.
A lot of people think we're going to grow weed in there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can grow much of anything in there right now because it is a blazing hot sweat box of death. That project was torture. It was so hot. And the plastic stuff that we would put up, like, would reflect the crazy sun that was blaring down. And just, like, you're blinded while we're trying to put in these screws. And I remember I had, like, a couple talking points. And Anthony was like, your face is all squinty. I'm like, well, yeah. It's because I got the stinking sun death beam in my eyeballs. But it looks nice. I mean, it works. Everything looks, and it works really well. People seem to, I guess, enjoy it as much as commenters on an I Like to Make Stuff video can be happy about anything.
You should have made one out of shark bite fittings.
We joked today that we were going to do like a year in review video of like going back and looking through stuff and like doing little updates. I was like, yeah, but it would, in my opinion, it would need to be super snarky and sarcastic.
It's like, still holding. Yeah.
And like this, your training video.
Yeah.
We're make like, well, it here's an in update the same the style plumbing. Of your training video. It's like, hey, now that you've, you know, I like to make stuff year in review. Same style, VHS, grainy, sarcastic. Everything would
just be on fire.
Everything be on fire.
Bodies on the floor.
Yeah. Pools of blood.
We have a thing about the treehouse. Somebody left a comment. So on our Slack channel, we have a like funny comment. So whenever we find one, we'll share it with each other if we don't have the chance to find it. And someone went, whoa, that's a spicy tree deck. On the treehouse. It makes no sense. It's super stupid. And so now everything that we do, we're like, man, we gotta go out to the spicy tree deck. And then the greenhouse video, we built the floor and we were like putting flooring out. I'm like, it looks like we're making another deck. Like, we should just do that from now on. Like, everything will just be a deck. Star Wars deck. Transformer deck. But yeah, that's what we've been up to. Wesley, I saw some of your AR stuff earlier.
Yeah.
Your augmented reality, making Wes's own reality, because the one he currently exists in isn't up to snuff.
It's not sufficient. Yeah, I've been dabbling with that, trying to get my Twitch stream set up, finalized. Trying to integrate like some video game technology into it, which I haven't seen anybody quite do what I'm trying to do, so it's exciting.
I like the video you just put out, too.
Thank you.
Pretty good.
It was really good.
It's progressing nicely.
Yeah. For my standards, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see like all the video effects that took me forever just because I could have done an easier way. But I'm like, hey, let me just try to make some cylindrical animation stuff and all these random plugins for After Effects to do all this craziness just to... I don't know, I just like have an excuse to mess around in there. I don't really spend enough time in there as I like to. So it ends up making some videos take a little bit longer because I'm sort of learning how to do the effect at that moment.
Yeah, and I'll get slower. I know.
Yeah. Yep. Like originally when I had all the like random pieces rolling in, like as it was assembling itself, I had like a label in the top left with like a little line. And I was like actually doing like motion tracking stuff where the extended part of the line was like tracking each individual piece. And it was a pain in the butt. I got through like three of them and I had like to do 12. And I'm like, nope, not doing that. Delete.
Because it has to solve all those different points.
Yeah, yep. Especially if it doesn't move linearly, like if it rolled in some kind of arc, you would have to get that in between the keyframes to move in an arc, not just to go from one keyframe to another.
Yeah, you draw like a little box around like a hotspot on the item, and it just it basically looks for the item, and then you give it like another box around it of how far away from that it'll look for it. So it's surprisingly good. And there's just like a lot of steps to link pieces together so it animates correctly. And I was getting really tired and really confused with like 25 layers of stuff, and that was only for like three animations. I'm like, ugh, my brain's melting. I gotta put this video out.
Tons of null data.
Yeah. But yeah, I got a video out and working on new stuff, so all is good so far. People seem to be enjoying it, and
yeah, and it's applicable because like so many people have those bottles now. Are everywhere.
Really?
I think, well, at least down here in Oklahoma, everybody has those. I mean, they're not Yeti bottles anymore because there's like off brands and everything like that, but the water bottles, containers, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see in like a ramp up toward Christmas time if that video were to get more views for people trying to small business kind of Christmas presents.
True. I should probably do one like showing how to do some of the wooden ornaments I did last year.
Get a jump start
on that. How about your dog stuff, huh?
Yeah, I forget about all those. I wonder if I'm going to do that again.
give yourself some more lead time than a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm doing something crazy this year and doing the 12 Days of Geekmas. And I'm starting on those projects now. So I'm making stuff for Christmas in September. Just so that I know they'll be done by December.
I might actually have some Halloween videos for the first time ever.
Yeah?
Yeah, so there's a friend of ours who has a huge Halloween party every year, and you know, all the parents are friends, and there's like 10 or 15 kids. And the last couple of years, our friends have put a huge maze on their front yard. The kids go through and different things. This year, they want to do the maze as an Indiana Jones theme. So they asked me to make some Nerf targets, so when the kids are running through, they can shoot, you know, some targets, and it does something, which I was already planning on doing. But I also want to do at the center of the maze, I want to 3D print the idol from nice. Indiana Jones. But I also want to set something up so that if it gets pulled off, the whole like center goes down. So I'm trying to figure out how to do some of that mechanism, which my brain isn't working right for that stuff. But we'll see. Mm-hmm.
You know a guy whose brain works for that kind of stuff.
I know a couple of guys that brains work that way. The engineering stuff is not my.
I just figured out how I would do it,
and it could draft it in Fusion in like 15 minutes.
Because I'm thinking like just the movie where you have weight on a surface, but once that weight's pulled off, that the bottom part goes down. That doesn't make sense in my head. There has to be another counterweight or lever that, you know,
magnets.
Yeah.
Put a magnet in the bottom of the thing.
That like would actually be possibly the easiest thing. Yeah, I guess I actually see how it would work with a magnet.
See, there you go.
Like the magnet is being pulled up and kind of holds it in, and then once
it's
that
holding
the
contact
broken,
up. Yeah.
The center cylinder is held in to the outer wall by a magnet, and there's also a magnet in the bottom.
I think that's probably the simplest solution. Was.
See, I was thinking of making it motorized, and then it would go.
You can make it motorized.
In the movie.
Either way, yeah, it could be mechanical. Yeah.
Yeah, if I make it mechanical, it's never going to get done, though.
Yeah.
Motors.
I have like 3 weeks for this.
You don't want to run a power source and all that crap.
No. Yeah, like a gear and like a rack and pinion on the sides. And then on the sides of the well, not the shaft that goes up and down inside the well, you mount the stepper motors and mount the rack and pinion side or the rack side to the cylinder so that when the motor spin, it just lowers it down and then you can reverse it and it'll put it back up.
See, I could repeat back exactly what you said and I know what you're saying. I could never make it.
You have the technology though.
Yeah, but you have to have the knowledge on how to do it.
I love stupid stuff like this. I'm not going to be able to talk. I'm only going to be able to think about that now.
Yeah.
This is what, solver. Okay. So that right there is what it's like to work at I Like to Make Stuff.
And go, why are you trying to rub it in? Stop rubbing it in.
This is fun.
No kidding.
Like this little exercise. It's like, wouldn't it be cool if, and then that little flash of like, well, that would be fun. And then it just stops and it gets real quiet. Ooh, what if we do it like this? And then it just erupts. Like, that's how that goes. It's super fun. We just had a little mini session. That was really neat.
I do that by myself in my shop. It's pretty exciting.
I tried doing
spin around in my chair. Like Macaulay Culkin when he's home alone for the first time.
See, my dog looks at me
and walks out. Yeah.
So I can't think of the engineering of it.
Yeah, I do rack and pinion. I want to make
sound
that
so easy. Yeah, right. Well, I've been trying to schedule out the rest of my year for projects and rearrange where applicable. I thought my next project was going to be the tool cabinet, but I'm going to have to put two more projects in front of that one because I'm making two of those and it's going to take a little bit longer than I thought I was. So, but I've got two that are almost done anyway, so it's going to be easy to just go in and finish those. I got my Excitebike bike shed, and then I've got a Jesse from Toy Story barn door baby gate that I'm sure will perform admirably. But it's fun, and it's great because my baby a few days ago was like, you know what, this whole walking thing, I think I'm going to do that from now on.
Oh,
and
nice.
I'm like, my world has just changed. We were talking about Christmas, and we're like, I know exactly how far up we're going to hang all the ornaments now. Because it's going to be, you know, ornaments on the top two-thirds of the tree and then just bare. So people come over, why is there no ornaments on the bottom of the tree? It's like, you see that thing running around?
That's how about the branches, no though? Are you going to cut the tree with no branches, like, for the first 20 inches?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Around it.
Maybe. I don't need, yeah, or put a fence around it. That could be a project in itself. Christmas tree fence. For my little Godzilla baby that just wants to, like, pull everything off the shelves. I came home from work today. I was like, why is there books everywhere? Oh, yeah, that's right. I have a baby.
Yep. I mean, we have a 3- and a 5-year-old, and there's still books everywhere. My kids love reading books and looking at books, and they go to the library probably twice a week. And apparently the library just lets you get as many as you want.
Yep.
Like, hooray for them. We have, like, a basket, like a huge, like, one that you'd put, like, blankets in that's just for the library books. And they're everywhere. And I'm like, I love that you guys are learning and enjoying. I'm like, but please put this stuff away. Because I don't want to step on it.
Seemed like the constant dad thing. Put it away, put it away. Most of the time at home has been picking up after others. Or yelling at somebody else to pick it up.
Did we talk about the chore chart that I made?
No, we didn't.
I remember seeing it, but I don't know if we talked about it.
Yeah, yes. So
we did last summer, I thought.
In passing.
It was like, I don't know, maybe a month ago. It might have been a month now. But my wife and I have always been talking about trying to get the kids to, like, do work and then be rewarded monetarily so that they can understand the value of money and, like, how much things cost. And so we were talking about, like, these jobs that they can do, and it was very voluntary. It was like a commission. They could pick a job. They get paid for that job. It was very freelance. And then no one wanted to do any of the work. And so they didn't have any money, and then they just whined at me. So it was like a double whammy. So I instituted the, like, no, these are kind of your chores. If you do them with a happy heart and you do them, quality, then there is a monetary reward at the end of the day for all services rendered. You get a day rate. And I'm like, but they need to have, like, a physical, tangible way to see their progress throughout the day. And so I made these little rectangle things, and I used the CNC to, like, CNC in their name, and one side is to do and the other side is done. And then I laser cut these little icons to, like, represent their chores, like get dressed, clean up your room,
make
your bed, put your laundry away. One's got doing the dishes, one has to clean the bathroom, one cleans off the table, and odd jobs, right? They've taken to it surprisingly well. I guess my kids are like me, like they're little box checkers. And so if there's this and it's the rectangle thing with the CNC, I primed it with magnetic primer and then spray painted it. And then I put little neodymium magnets on the back of the little laser cut icon. So they have like a little magnetic thing that they move from one side over to the other side. So it's very, gratifying for them. And then at the end of the day, they get paid. We've got this like whole set of like fake money for, teaching currency and stuff like that. So it looks, as much as a cartoon facsimile of a dollar looks, it looks pretty all right. And so they have these little folders, these little envelopes with their names on them. And then when we pay them, they stick it in a folder, and then that's how much money they have. And so rather than me going out and go getting them actual cash that I don't have time to go do, we just know how much they have in their kind of facsimile account. And if they want to go out somewhere and they're like, oh, can you buy me this random stupid thing? And I'm like, well, how much is that? They're like, I have enough money. And then I buy it and I take their fake money away. And so it's been working out, like them taking ship.
Ingenious.
What if they save for like 10 years? They got like $5,000 saved up. You got to cash out all at once.
That would never, ever happen.
It'll break the house.
It'd be like a run on the banks during the Great Depression. And we would just like close the gate slowly in front of them.
It's like a microcurrency insured at Josh's house. Yeah.
Yep.
That's equal to one shroot buck.
Your exchange rate, in-house inflation.
But you're talking about cleaning stuff up, and that triggered that thought that, like, man, you give them a tangible thing that they get to do, like, they get to feel really satisfied about, like, physically, like, moving this to, like, boom, this is done. And then because it's magnetic, it has a nice little snap, like a nice little tactile, like, haptic reward for finishing the task. And now I'm like, is your bed made? Is your room cleaned up? They're like, oh, I forgot to go do it. And like, it's almost become like a fun little thing for them. And so I don't have, other than books, which I mean, is it waxes and wanes. I don't have to clean much up anymore because of this magnetic little snappy thing that they're super enjoying and our fake little like learning dollars.
And have they tried to cheat the system yet?
Nope. Sometimes they forget, honestly.
Like pushing the magnet over?
Yeah.
Well, they did the first day. Like the first week we did it. They would all try to do them like 10 seconds into their day. They're like, my room's cleaned up. All my clothes are put away and the dishes are done. I'm like, well, we haven't even eaten breakfast. There's no dishes to be messed up. Like, no, that doesn't count. And so there's like, these are done in the morning and these will be done like or checked kind of before bed. And then at the end of the day, once everything is done, then it's pay time. And so they'll come down and I'm like, is everybody's chore chart done? They're like, oh no, my dirty clothes are still on the floor from when I put my pajamas on. I'm like, well, you should probably take care of that. And they run upstairs and then they move their little thing over. So the excitement and the nuance of it is still pretty fresh, which works out for me. And I'm hoping that it doesn't like just die down and they get bored with it. But the reward is kind of multi-tiered. Like they get paid, yes, which is cool. They get that gratification. It's each one of the little boards is unique to that kid. So it's like, this is my board and they take ownership of their tasks, which I think may be beneficial for them in this whole scheme. But short and skinny, my kids have stuff to do. They have chores like everybody else. And because it's like a game board type thing, they're really excited to do it. And it works out well for me.
Cool.
Yeah. How do you get your kids to clean up? Or do they?
I yell at them.
Depends on the day.
I had intended to do something similar like that. I had something all planned out. But I have very little consistency in my days right now because of different times that we get home. They're still responsible for the same things, but I've chosen not to do it because as a parent, if you're going to institute something new, you have to be consistent on your end. Which means that you'd have to consistently check it, follow up, you know, in your case, do that payout.
Your and kids aren't the only ones with the chore.
Right. And if I can't be consistent on my side, I'm not going to institute it. I don't like making it, you know, empty on that side. So if I'm going to do it, I have to make sure I keep it my end. So it's there's other things that I have more regimented, but that specifically I don't at the moment.
And that's enough, where the fake money thing absolutely came into play because it was the same thing. They're like, isn't it payday? I'm like, crap, I don't have cash and I can't go to an ATM and get $4 for you. So that helped with that kind of consistency.
Luckily enough, my kids are a little bit older at this point. This would have been really helpful more like maybe not 2 years ago. My oldest, Mark, not Mark O'Keefe Donovan.
I'm sorry.
I don't know why I'd be partying up with him for his birthday.
I can't stream tonight. It's Mark's birthday. Mark's
sorry, birthday? I couldn't resist. But he just turned 10, and he's been pretty good with a lot of the chores that he has to do, and he has other rewards. And his reward simply is usually just being able to play video games, you know, on the 2 or 3 days a week he might be allowed to. And that motivation alone has been enough for him. You know, chores around the house, homework, other extra things that we have him do. We don't pay him for chores because that is an expectation in the house. But if there's something out of the ordinary, then we will sometimes give money. So like with my wife's button business, a lot of times she'll pay him to make the buttons. And so that's something extra that, you know, we pay out of our own pocket for him. And my daughter does other little stuff too. She helps with the vendor events and other things. So we pay out under those circumstances.
Yeah, my kids are at an age where helping isn't really helping. It's more making a bigger mess than it is helping, but they try. And it's hard to find that balance between, it's like, I want to develop a sense of like doing good work, but you're just destroying everything right now.
And that's hard. The most frustrating part is, I mean, even like the jobs that we have them do, and Sean, just like you're saying, we have like extras that where they can earn more. And a majority of stuff that we pay them for is stuff that I don't want to do anymore. And it, like with the dishes, like my oldest son does the dishes now. And I used to do the dishes when I was a kid because we didn't have a dishwasher. And so I just have used to doing them by hand. And so we have the dishwasher. And so you kind of have to wash the dish before it goes in there. And he does it kind of lazily. I'm like, no, brother, you got to get in there and like get scrape those food boogers off. And he's like, I don't want to touch it. And so you have to like, it's weird. Like, I will pay you to do a thing, but you have to do it to my standard. And so you have to be able to train them to achieve that standard. And so for a while, I'm like, why am I paying these kids to do a job when I have to go beside them and like do it with them every single time? And then I'm like, oh yeah, they're in their like employee training evaluation period. And now, I mean, majority of them are at the point where they know what I'm going to check. They know what clean means. And, but yeah, it was rough for a little while. I'm like, oh, I just want to sit down and you do all the work. That's why I'm paying you. I don't want to have to get up.
That's why I had kids.
Right? Indentured servanthood, man. Everybody plays this racket. You'll do it to your kids, too, one day.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a dishwasher, and I don't let them use it.
Do what, Sean?
I said, we have a dishwasher, and I don't let them use it.
I don't care if you use it. They just, when I pull a dish out of that dishwasher, it better be clean. And if it's not, then you're going to do it over again. And he's upset. That, like, he's like, I did the dishes today. I'm like, shocker. There's more dishes. How many times did you eat today? He's like, ugh. I'm like, well, sorry, man. Like, your job is dishes. You're going to get paid for it. I can do this job myself and you can get nothing. I don't want to. That's why I hired you.
The thing with our kids, they're like, ugh, we do chores all the time. I'm tired of doing chores. I'm like, there's a solution for that. Stop making messes. If you don't want to constantly be cleaning stuff up, just stop making messes. And then they'll go and they'll like pull something out and throw it across the room. Go clean it up.
it won't resonate.
You made the mess. Like, yep. I can understand that the logic just that circuit hasn't connected in their brains yet because they're still developing. But I'm like, you just spilled a box of cereal on the floor. Now go clean it up because it's not going to clean itself up. And I am not your maid. Like, you need to go clean this up.
One day. My daughter is the messiest, most destructive person in this house. But she will also go like, oh, I'll go clean it up. And she goes and gets the rag and like does her little 3-year-old best to try to like undo what she just did. And it's gotten to the point now where like before I'm like, my God, this girl is going to just burn this whole house down. And now I just have to stop. And I'm like, what did you just do? She's like, oh, I made a huge mess. And I have a thing with, I don't know if you guys have this too, with milk. I don't personally like milk, but like breakfast time and kids with cereal, they just like throw the cereal at their face, milk and all, and it just like sprays everywhere. And milk, when it dries, gets like sticky and glue-like. And I freaking hurt it. I hate it so bad. I hate it so bad, you guys.
I've just eliminated cereal.
Man. Well, my wife got really smart, kind of like in Big Daddy, where they like gives them a little squirt bottle. She bought one of these little bottles that's made for like weightlifters and like protein things. It has a little like pour spout on the top. So she just fills that tiny little thing with milk, puts it in a space in the refrigerator where they can reach it, and it's a lot more controlled than like the giant thing. I'm like, that's stinking brilliant.
I completely saw this going a different way. I thought you were going to say they, you know, take a bite of the cereal and then spray the milk in their mouth after.
And chase it. Or with my kids, it's like dump the milk out, and it's like good, 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 good. No, stop. I'm like, that's enough milk.
Yeah. So she puts it in a tiny receptacle, and so their tiny beings can more easily manage it, and they don't make as big a mess. And I'm like, well, now if I could just make a like a contained like feed trough type situation where you can eliminate the spoon from bowl to mouth mess, then the whole thing would be
feeding
fine.
Bag. You just need a feeding bag for the kid.
They need to make like a Go-Gurt but with just like cereal.
A cereal Go-Gurt.
It's just contained, and you just like slurp it on it.
Put it like in a toothpaste tube, and you squeeze it out.
I guess that's
or cool. Or here's an idea. Replace milk with Greek yogurt. Just use Greek yogurt as your milk. Still put the cereal in it? No.
Seems worse.
That's thicker.
It already has bacteria in it, so you're like...
And it tastes like feet. But yeah, my kids seem to like... They will be the most safe and delicate and careful beings unless there's milk around. And then they're a stinking water weasel and they just fling it all over the place. And it drives me insane.
Oh, so this is new, Josh. We went out to Wyoming. Well, this isn't new. We went out to Wyoming for a vacation, my family and I.
I remember.
The new part is after we came back, my wife has had the camper bug. So please help me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. What's weird is I was thinking about like a camping trip with everybody. And part of me was like, that'd be cool if we could fly out somewhere and then rent an RV. Like a small one.
Yeah.
For like a weekend trip.
Yeah.
Give it back, get back on the airplane, come back to my house.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that seems like an enjoyable event. And not towing it all around the country with all of my belongings in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. It's
something the size that a Subaru Ascent can carry. So it's not going to be huge, but
it's not like going to be pop huge. Up
or
yeah,
you know, some sort of first level kind of thing. I don't know. I like camping, just generic, you know, tent camping, primitive camping. The kids love that; they don't mind, but she doesn't like that. So she's trying to find like a compromise. I'm like, well, we stay at campgrounds that have showers and running water. She's like, I don't want to have to walk to get a shower. I'm like, okay.
Well, the kind of shower you're going to get
in a shower, I can hang it from a tree with like a bucket of water. You know, they sell it at like Target. Like, no.
Baby wipes, woman. They're roughing it. But like a small camper like that, that's the shower in there is, I guess technically it's a shower. It's a waterproof pan with like a spigot above it.
Right.
But it's super tiny. And it doesn't get really hot, and it's really small and awkward. So I honestly think you would have a better experience in a campground shower other than just like weird people standing outside and you walking through like the sandy water on the ground.
Right.
I don't know. I wouldn't. I don't know. That's strange. When I think about getting a camper, yeah. I'm thinking like a Winnebago kind of thing, to where like everybody has enough room to not be sitting directly next to me, but not anywhere near what we had lugged around the country.
But I made a deal with her. I said, if we get a camper, whatever kind it is, the first stop that we have to go to is Josh's, out of just pure, you know, balance with yep. the universe, you know. And she's like, yep, that makes sense.
I'll help you rip it apart and make it all cute. That's right. So that inevitably when you're going to sell it, you can actually sell it. Because I think RVs are like boats. I mean, I've known a lot of people with them, and they either keep them forever because they absolutely love it, or they buy it, they go on a few trips, and then they try to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're super popular and everybody wants one, they have a really hard time trying to sell it because the market's kind of flooded. So if you're going to buy a camper, and if you're not planning on retiring in it, make it unique. To where it stands out above the crowd. So hopefully you can make your money back. But yeah, come on over. You can park next to my greenhouse.
There you go.
It'll keep you warm at night.
Oh, good. I think we'll keep a fusion reactor warm at night.
You guys been geeking out over anything? Movie trailers? Games?
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus.
Did you guys get the or see the special pricing?
No. $12.99 for Disney, Hulu, ESPN, and National Geographic.
So I got 3 years of Disney Plus for $140.
Mm. Is it discounted in bulk too? Or no?
What do you mean?
Did you just do the Disney Plus, or did you do the package?
I don't think it include. No, I didn't do the Hulu one.
Is it cheaper if you pay a year, like at a time, or is it like?
Well, this
like
was
versus monthly, or
this was a special D23 special. And there was a free D23, like a membership, which I did. And I came out to, what, $3.99 a month, I think. So I paid for 3 years in advance and locked in the really low price. So I guess I'm in. Starting.
Yeah, over. You're embedded now.
Yep.
Yep.
Where can you even, I mean, can you even get that information, like the pricing and all that, outside of D23?
You can't get that price anymore, but...
Or, like, where is it you even available to try to sign up?
No, there was something going around online that had that info.
All right.
See, I'm trying to look it up right now. Disney Plus will cost $7 a month in the U.S. I saw that there was a, like, Hulu thing for, like, $12.99, but I don't remember where I saw that.
Yeah, that was something. Yeah,
I haven't seen too. Anything from Disney official. Like, it's always been, like, from someone else. All right, there it is. So Disney's other streaming services, Hulu and ESPN, will run on the same platform. It will offer the triple service bundle for $13 a month. FX Plus is a $6 a month add-on. Good grief.
Yes. They're a cable company now.
Yep.
Got to buy your package.
They just got to offer a, cell phone and internet coverage now. Disney internet.
Didn't Disney try to offer a phone plan at one point in their life?
No, my first phone was at Disney. My first cell phone ever was at Disney.
They sell parental control hardware for your network.
Is it called like Circle or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's actually supposed to be pretty good from what I hear.
I heard the same thing. I haven't seen anything more on it, though.
What am I geeking out about? Well, I'm glad.
Yes, Wes, what are you geeking out about?
There was a game that I kickstarted last fall, late summer, called Micromages. And it was a NES game that these two German guys were developing, a brand new NES game with the cartridge, the instruction manual, everything to play in the original NES. And I pre-ordered it back then, and I finally got it. Like, it's probably been a couple weeks now, but I just actually sat down and played it. And the unique thing is that it supports up to four players. So there's like a little accessory that they sold for the NES. It was that you could get on eBay now. Huh? Yeah, it's
port. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And so it's called the Four Score, and so I got that. And we had three friends over last weekend, and we played four-player co-op. And that game is probably, it's like in the top 10 NES games I've ever played.
Hmm.
It's amazing.
Wow.
And it's a testament to, it's either a testament to their accomplishment or it's like a huge dig at all the other NES developers. I'm not sure because it's remarkably well done. Like there's like wall jumping and bouncing around and there's like four players on the screen at the same time and it's a vertical scroller. So you're like climbing like a dungeon. And when you get to the top of that one sequence, there's like a boss battle. So like a lot of the tropes that they had like back in the day with old games, like wall jumping and powering up, like blasting shots and jumping off each other's heads and stuff. That's all in there. And there's like all kinds of neat little mechanics they threw in that were really cleverly done. And it's only like $50. You can get the cartridge one still. And they actually have it on Steam. It's like $10 if you want to play it on PC. And I think if you buy the cartridge one, you get like a ROM with it. You could play it like on an NES emulator, like on RetroPie or whatever. So they covered all the bases. They were a little bit late with their shipment.
Delivery?
Yeah, but I mean, as far as Kickstarter goes, they were only like a month and a half late. That's pretty good, considering how many
better than
they sold.
Not delivering at all.
Yeah, I mean, they had thousands of orders, and they had to hand assemble, like they put the stickers on the cartridges, and they assembled everything themselves. And there's a video online on YouTube about how they created the graphics for it that I might have mentioned a couple months ago that I watched. It's pretty remarkable how they optimized and made all these graphics fit on a 40 kilobyte cartridge. 40 kilobytes. So it's
that
called
was high
micro
technology back then.
Yeah. The Micromages is the name of it. Highly recommend it.
That's pretty cool.
You don't
I've kind of been geeking out about two things. One is Borderlands 3 because it came out today. I downloaded it this morning, and oh man, for people that like Borderlands, it is amazing. Like, it's so amazing. It's like Borderlands on steroids, with loot and loot. The only thing that I don't like is there's loot boxes now. I mean, there was always like golden keys and chests and things like that, but now it's like everything else. There's loot boxes, which is kind of disappointing, but still the game itself is fantastic. And the other thing I'm geeking out about is the Switch Lite, because that comes out in a week, I want to say. And I am totally getting one so I can finally play Breath of the Wild.
On time.
Yeah, I know.
And wait, you know that the Switch Lite won't play Breath of the Wild, right?
What?
I'm joking.
Oh, God.
It's DLC. You have to download
it. Oh, get so sad so quickly.
I heard the Link death sound.
I know. Well, that, like, Link's Awakening comes out the same day. Link's Awakening was my favorite Zelda title up to Twilight Princess. And so it has a special place in my heart. So I'm like, okay, all right, it's time. It's time. I just need to decide whether I'm going to go gray or yellow or turquoise.
Then you can get a new iPhone. It's all the crazy color wheels. Get as many super obnoxiously colored electronics as you can to fit in all of your pockets.
Right? It was funny back when like cell phones were first coming out. Like, there was all kinds of crazy colors. And then the iPhone came out and everybody went black or dark gray like Batman. And all the phones look the same. And now we're kind of reverting back to, hey, this one is pink or gold or whatever.
Did it ever really matter because everybody has a case on their phone?
Yep.
I know, right? Yeah.
Now, I make fun of the iPhone because it is, I guess, the opposite of what I'm geeking out about. I'll do the inverse because we watched the developers conference and it made me sad for Apple. Like, I'm a Mac user. I've got my Mac here. I've got my phone. I've got my watch. I got my stuff. And the newness and the excitement about all the products. Like, there was no reason to be excited about that phone. It's got a bunch of cameras and it looks silly and people are just going to make fun of it. And it's like, you can now take a regular or a wide or a super wide photo. Like, okay. And maybe you can get it in red. Like, that's not innovation. Like, I was a little disappointed by that.
They forgot that it's a phone.
Yeah, it's still the same phone. It just has a nicer camera. Like, okay. I mean, sure.
I think all phones are at a standstill, though. I don't think it could really do anything more that's relevant and actually needed. I think we hit a wall.
I think if they can get rid of the notch on the top, like, that would be like their new super cool thing. Like, no more notch.
They're going to save that for next year.
Like, finally, you gave people something that they wanted for a long time. Like, it doesn't seem like they are making a piece of technology that I didn't know that I needed in my life. They're tweaking the thing that I already have that works perfectly fine. And it's not a strong enough drive to make me want to give up what I currently have and spend $1,000 on a thing that's marginally better. So I found myself making fun of the developers conference. And the same thing with the last one they had when they were releasing the new, the iMac Pro, the cheese grater looking one with like a $600 monitor. Like, all that stuff was just ridiculous.
The $1,000 monitor stand.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. Ugh.
It reminds me of like Tron Legacy when they're having that board meeting and they're like, we've just released version 12. And one of the guys in the board meeting is like, hey, so what's the difference between version 11 and version 12? We put a 12 on the box.
Yeah, I wanted to be geeking out about the developers conference and like a new thing, but it was more disappointing than it was exciting. And I can understand people with like Pixel phones and things that are just like laughing at all the Apple users. Like, I kind of get it. Not enough to like push me away and spend money on a different technology system. Package, but that spark is dying.
And the new pricing structure hurts too. When I think about what I could buy for $1,000, I don't need a $1,000 phone.
And get on the same internet that I could with phone I have in my pocket, right?
My phone is like 3, almost 4 years old, and I haven't seen any reason to not keep using it.
I still have an iPhone 5.
I think that with all like the telecommunications companies like making people pay per month for their phone now instead of just like wrapping it into their 2-year plan.
Yep.
I think makes people kind of stop and give pause to like, I might not need that phone. Yep. But I mean, there's going to be people that buy it and hurry for them. But I think this is the first time like verbally from people throughout the internet, like all of the technology influencers that they have been. There was a Fatherly article that told people to not buy that phone because it was pretty much a frivolous waste of money. Because the upgrade from what you currently have was just going to cost you, and it was not as valuable as you would hope it would be. I'm like, oh. Well,
I remember watching highlights from when they were talking about the new Mac and the $1,000 monitor stand, and people in the audience were laughing, like fanboys. We're laughing, and that's when you know you've crossed that threshold.
Well,
when your own fan base is laughing at you.
In the last one, like the three of us at I Like to Make Stuff, we're watching it. We're like, we could be potential customers for this new machine because we need like editing capability. We do offsite rendering. We do all this stuff. We're like, okay, speak to me. And then we're like, this is a joke. All of this is a big joke. Like, never mind, and just turned it off. I'm like, ugh.
I often feel that way now with a lot of Nintendo press conferences, especially with the thing they just released. I don't know if you guys seen the video of it.
Is that the thing you just posted?
The exercise thingy?
I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Like Fit Adventure.
It's the evolution of the Wii Fit then, right?
Yes.
Oh.
It basically looks like you have like a Thigh Master.
Great.
And you're doing all this like ridiculous stuff.
It reminded me of the hyperspace thing that Obi-Wan had to fit into in episode 2 or 3.
Yeah.
The little like, and then his Jedi fighter went off and it just floated away in space. It looked like one of those.
Goofy little ring.
It does.
Yeah. It's awful. But a lot of times, like whenever they have like a Nintendo Direct, I have the anticipation and excitement beforehand. Like you were talking about like the Apple thing. I'm like, oh, they could announce this. They could do this. They could do that. And then after it's over, I'm like, really? This is the best and brightest they could come up with?
Mm-hmm.
Like, ugh. It's like you're squandering your potential. Like, you were this far. You're like, here's what you could have done. Like, all the people were asking for this one thing, and you're like way over here in left field.
Do you feel like we've hit the limit in too many of these different areas for innovation? I mean, how much more innovation are you going to have in a phone? Video games, I mean, there's some innovation to be had there. But it seems like the only frontier is VR, which a lot of people still don't want to jump into. We feel like we're at the edge of a lot of these different technologies right now. They don't really have a need or reason to change or be upgraded because they do exactly what we needed them to do now.
That's a conversation all in itself.
It is. Right there. Yeah. We'll have to table that.
I think it's the car. That needs to be a drop-in thing for your car. Replace your crappy stereo with the CarPlay or like drop in this kit and it can do something on, because your car is still, I mean, unless you drive a Tesla, your car is still pretty dumb.
Yeah, but then we also don't need those distractions in the car already.
I don't know if Apple made a thing that you can drop in it and it makes fart noises like a Tesla.
Oh, I'm not saying it wouldn't sell. I'm not saying
there
it wouldn't
goes
sell.
Your the shares you're losing for $1,000 monitor stand.
Well, speaking about tabling this discussion, if you have any ideas for topics that we could possibly use for the show, go ahead and check out our website, makinggeeks.com, and on the contact page, there's a spot for you to include that information right there. Questions, comments, suggestions for the show, just go ahead and send all that to us right there. On the homepage of the site, you could listen to all of our past episodes. You could watch some of them on YouTube for the ones that are available for you. But on the website there, makinggeeks.com, listen to all our past shows right there.
And if you're on social media and want to get with us on social media, you can find Wes over at Geeksmithing. Josh can be found at Josh_MakeStuff or at I Like to Make Stuff that he works with Bob. Sean can be found at Geek Builders, and he just released a new shirt that is awesome, and everybody should go get it. And I can be found over at Once Upon a Workbench.
And we'd like to thank our patrons over at patreon.com/makinggeeks for keeping the lights on here at the Making Geeks studio apartment we have here. We like to share the same space, and it helped us afford this great living quarters. No, I'm just lying. We're all in separate places still. If you guys want to help us out for Keep the Lights On and helping us do future things that we have planned, head over to patreon.com/makinggeeks. And a shout out to our top patron, C3D Prop Shop. Thank you so much.
And we'd like to thank you for hanging out with us today. We'd like to thank all those who stuck with us during the YouTube live chat. We do those every Thursday around 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And if you just like to prefer to listen to this, then you can find it in your podcast player of choice every Saturday. So from all of us to all of you, we hope you have a fantastic week.
Have a good one. See you.
Take care.